Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR, American Family Radio. We have 183 radio stations across the good old U.S. of A., and we have thousands of people who listen on our app, don't we, Walker?
That's right.
We have an AFR app that's free to download on your cell phone or iPad or other similar device, and then you can listen to American Family Radio, clear as a bell, anywhere in the world, as long as you have high-speed internet. So take advantage of our free radio app. Ed Battagliano co-hosting with me with Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl has joined us for this half hour. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Steve, take it away.
Steve is getting, we're getting his mic.
There we go.
There we go.
Yeah, that's not Brent's fault there. Good morning. We are going to be joined by a person that's been in the news not too long ago. If you remember Jack Phillips, he of the Masterpiece Cake Shop that was at the Supreme Court because he refused to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony by creating a cake. Well, guess what? He's back in the news and, in fact, is talking with us right now. Him and his attorney, Jim Campbell, join us. Jack, good morning and welcome. Good to talk to you again.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so I'll let you go ahead and tell the story. So you're back in front of the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, are you?
Yeah.
So what happened now?
Yeah, the day that the United States Supreme Court granted our petition, decided to take our case back in June of 2017, a local attorney here in Colorado called me up and asked for a cake that was pink on the inside, blue on the outside, to announce a gender transition. And that's a message that I can't create for anybody. And so I offered him anything else that we make in the shop, birthday cakes, cookies, that kind of thing. But he didn't say that was enough, went on to the Civil Rights Commission and filed a complaint. And so the commission listened to his attorney, and 3 weeks after the United States Supreme Court announced their decision, giving us the 7-2 victory and telling the Civil Rights Commission that they were hostile to my faith and they can't be hostile to my faith, they've taken the bait and they're suing me again because of my faith. And so here we go.
What do you think the chances are, Jack, that an innocent person walked in to just happen to be passing, hey, there's a cake shop, let's go in and see if I can get a gender reveal cake? Oh, really? You can't? I'm shocked that you won't do this for me. What do you think the chances are of that happening?
You know, I don't know what the chances are of that, but hopefully we can get that straightened out with the suit that we just filed against the commission, because it's openly hostile to my faith, like I was saying, and the United States Supreme Court is the one who said that. And we can't live the next 6 years of our life like we did the last 6 years, waiting for somebody to walk in and hit us with a frivolous lawsuit. Mm. So hopefully this lawsuit against them will straighten that out.
Jim, I know you're there with Jack, and I got a question for you.
Jim,
so
who?
Jim Campbell is the attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom, and he's also on the call, I believe. Jim, the Supreme Court in the last case involving Jack was a fairly narrow decision, and they seem to give these people a roadmap of how to navigate the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. Are you worried about this case, that they just kind of now have the roadmap?
No, I don't think so, and I don't think it was a narrow decision. In fact, what the Supreme Court said is that the state was hostile to Jack's faith because it was treating him differently than other cake artists. And what the Supreme Court said is you had some cake artists that were declining to create religious messages opposing same-sex marriage, and they were allowed to do that. But anytime Jack declines a message because of his faith, he's punished for it. Well, that unequal treatment, that entirely arbitrary treatment, shows that the state is hostile to Jack's faith. And so we believe that the Supreme Court's decision is directly on point here and that it should require the state to back off and to allow Jack to live and work consistent with his beliefs.
Jim, this is Walker Wildman here. One question regarding the legal aspect. So you have the Supreme Court ruling just a few short months ago, and but I don't understand. Do you think this case is going to have standing in court? I don't understand how you can essentially launch a case that was just settled. It's exactly similar. Launch a case that was just settled at the highest court in the country and relitigate the whole issue when we know where the Supreme Court stands on this.
Well, that's sort of the approach that we're hoping that the federal court takes. We're hoping the federal court looks at it and says, this is just another example of the state's anti-religious hostility towards Jack. And so it will hopefully put a very quick end to what's going on here. But, you know, you never know. Whenever you're dealing with courts,
right.
Courts have their own views on issues. And while we'll advocate for Jack's position, we don't know what approach they'll take.
Jack, I got one last question for you. You kind of came in, I remember, the start of the last court case with you, and I don't think you probably understood what it was going to involve being thrown up as far as the Supreme Court and everything, but you've got no excuse now. How are you feeling as this second case comes to bear? How's your business doing, and are you up for the fight?
Yeah, the business is still active, and we are up to the fight. We just have no choice but to take this fight to them because, like Jim was saying, the commission was openly hostile to our case and my faith. And when the Supreme Court ruled in our favor and told them that they could not be hostile to us, they've ignored that and taken another case that is so similar to the first one, showing the hostility against me and my faith, that we have to do something to try and stop this.
All right. Jack, thanks for joining us. Jim, thank you as well. And we're going to be watching closely. Wish you success with this case. Hope it resolves itself soon, but in a way that kind of puts an exclamation point on the last case so that we don't have to do this again.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right. Good scoop there. Good interview, Steve Jordahl.
Thank you. Yeah, that's
good work.
Yeah. Jack is a friend of mine. I was involved with the first case and was the one who introduced him to the Alliance Defense Fund in the first case that appeared in a Colorado newspaper. So,
you know, I'll be surprised. I won't be surprised if the commission takes it up and tries to relitigate this whole thing, considering their animus towards Jack Phillips. But I would suspect a federal judge somewhere in here is going to step in and say, look, we've been down this road. 4 years of court cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees that the state of Colorado paid to squash Jack Phillips, and we're not doing this again.
I have two thoughts about that. One, I knew about this case a month ago and was asked by Alliance Defending Freedom to kind of sit on it so that they wouldn't get in the way of... They're trying to negotiate that kind of a thing with the Civil Rights Commission. The fact that they are announcing this means to me, and I didn't ask this of him, but I'm pretty sure that the Civil Rights Commission has decided to take it up. The second thought I have is never underestimate the determination of big gay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
What do you mean by big gay?
You know how they talk about big oil and
big pharma.
Big pharma. I don't have an issue... personally with someone who's gay. What I pray for them. I think they're misguided and I think that they need Jesus. But what angers me is the political clout that has come across with the lobby that has made this a political issue and advanced it to the point where it's invading.
No, they want. There's a certain. Not all of them. There are some LGBT people who just want to, you know, they don't want to get in a fight with Christians. They just want to be left
live
alone.
Live their lives. Sure.
Yeah, and that's fine. I think that's what you're talking about.
Right.
And we disagree on lifestyle and what the Bible says about that activity, but what we're talking about is the group of LGBT. People who want to make Christians bow the knee and say and clap for them.
Right.
Yay, you're gay. I clap for you. I renounce my belief that you're living an immoral lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what Jack Phillips, that was case was all about.
And to Steve's question, it was the first thing I thought of when I heard that this new case had popped up. Huh. What are the chances yeah. of just some transgender guy just randomly walking
no.
off the street? No. So to your point, Tim, yeah. they picked Jack Phillips. They had
they want to destroy his life.
Right. We will run him through this ringer time and time again because we have a human rights commission, quote unquote, from Colorado who's yeah. on our side.
Again, keep in mind, folks, here with these cases, and there are several of them, we've talked about them, that have happened with these Christian business people being forced to do gay weddings, use weddings in quotations, or either go out of business. These folks don't want to. These folks can go anywhere. They can go 100 other places to get their cake made, huh? Or get their flowers for their wedding, or get a photographer that they can go 100 other places in their communities or towns or whatever. No, they want to go find the Christian and then get the Christian to say no. Again, the Christians, all of them that I know in these cases, business people, they don't ask the person when they come in the door, before you buy a bouquet of flowers from me, you look gay.
Right,
and there's the door, my friend, because we don't serve your kind in here. I don't sell. Nobody's ever accused these people.
But that's what the media makes it sound like.
Specifically, Jack is that he has served. In fact, the first couple that had come in asking him to participate in the wedding, he had served them before.
No, that's what I'm saying. So the point yeah. is not. This is often confused in the media on purpose, and the LGBT activist groups, they do this on purpose. They leave this out. Mm-hmm. What you're just talking about. Somebody like Jack Phillips, his business is open for all mm-hmm. who want to come in. He doesn't screen people for what nationality they are or what sexual orientation they are. He just sells his stuff, okay? Anybody who comes in their store. No, what he objects to is when you come in and you say, I want you to bake a wedding cake and decorate it for my gay wedding. And he says, I have a religious conviction against a gay wedding because the Bible teaches me that homosexuality is wrong. Therefore, I can't engage in this for you. I can't do this for you. But I'll sell you a cupcake over here if you want one.
Right.
Okay?
He even offered to sell him a wedding cake that was generic and pre-decorated.
Right.
Right. Or I'll give you the name of five other... Mm-hmm. Bakeries that'll do anything you want them to do. Mm-hmm. No, these gay activists, no, that's not good enough, Mr. Phillips. We want to see you fined. We want to see you driven out of business. We want to see you have to sell your house, like in the case of Baron Stetsman. So tell me who the haters are in all this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's clear.
It's clear. So that I wanted to frame the issue. I know many people have heard about this, but that's what's at stake here. And does a person like Jack Phillips, does he have religious freedom in this case? I would also ask you if you would say, no, he must be forced to make this cake. I would ask you the question this. If you had an African-American bakery, an African-American owned a bakery, right? Let's use a better example. An African-American owner of a printing shop. And a man comes in and says, hey, we're having a KKK rally downtown a couple of weeks from now, and I want to get some posters printed up. And the African-American guy goes, well, I own this company, and I have a real moral objection to you to what you're doing here, Mr. KKK, and I'm not going to be able to print these for you, so you're going to have to go somewhere else. would you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Does he have a right to object to that or not? Or would you say, no, he must be forced to...
No, everybody, and this is we talked about this with the gender thing, in which people will suspend reality. They will believe something that is that ordinarily they would never believe. They will say things they ordinarily would never say, because you'll find people who say, yes, that black owner of the print shop should, when in reality they don't believe that, but they know if they say he has the right not to participate in a KKK rally with posters, if you say that, they have to come back and say, and the Christian doesn't have to participate in the gay wedding. But because they know that's going to come back on them, they will say something they don't believe and that nobody really believes in order to escape the consequences of their statement. Did I make that more confusing than necessary?
No. That was helpful. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. That's our email address, comments@afr.net. You can watch the show on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And, of course, our website for American Family Radio is afr.net. Next story, Steve.
The Catholic sex abuse scandal continues to be in the news. A grand jury in Pennsylvania yesterday released a long, 1,000-plus page report on sexual abuse in six Catholic dioceses across the state of Pennsylvania. They found more than 1,000 victims at the hands of more than 300 pedophile priests. And I read some of this report. Well, I'll tell you how it's possible, and we're going to kind of, people are going to think that today that all we want to talk about is gay stuff, but I talked to a friend of mine who's one of the heads of the a group called the Center for Family and Human Rights. It used to be the Catholic Family Initiative. He's a devout Catholic, attends Mass. In fact, he's at Mass right now. Every noon he goes. His name is Austin Roos, and I asked him, about this and what it means for the Catholic faith. Cut five.
There has been an invasion of the Catholic priesthood by predator homosexuals going on now for 50, 60, 70 years. So I would guess that a report like this can be done in other parts of the country. As sickening as this is, the bottom line is that this has the church officials have allowed this to go on, and you know, as a regular pew sitter, I want to see heads roll for this.
So basically, what he's saying is that the Catholic Church knows, and you see it disguised all the time. The reports in the press will say child abuse, but I read through this report, and overwhelmingly, although there were some priests who abused girls, overwhelmingly these were boys from junior high to high school age, somewhere around 11, 12 to 15, to 18. And that, he says, makes it a crime committed by homosexuals, not pedophiles. In fact, play cut six. This is him continuing.
The writers of the John Jay report recognized that these were all, you know, men going after teen boys, but they concluded preposterously that it had nothing to do with homosexuality. They will probably try to do exactly the same thing in this report, and they've already started by saying it had to do with children. So, yeah, they do try to, it's funny, they try to sanitize it for the homosexuals and therefore lie about the victims.
The John Jay report was a fairly comprehensive report that was done a couple of years ago about the abuse scandal in the Catholic Church.
So how many people have gone to jail over this?
Well, several have. In fact, several of the, I don't know the number, but there of the 300 predators that they found posing as priests in this particular report, some of them had served or were already serving jail time.
Yeah. So is this report's being released now? But when did all this happen? I mean, Or when did all this become uncovered for this report to be to begin?
This report was given to the grand jury a few months ago, and it's the fallout from the ongoing scandal. I suppose that there's a lot of other dioceses. These six dioceses were Allentown, Erie, Greensburg, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, and Scranton. And it's a diverse place around there. I think the state of Pennsylvania decided that something needed to happen. So this is the civil government in Pennsylvania holding predators accountable within the Catholic Church. So other states may want to do the same thing at some point down the line. The Attorney General in Pennsylvania probably just finally had enough evidence that he's going to go ahead and launch this investigation.
Well, this is just a calamity for the Catholic Church because a lot of the cover up that has gone on with priests being shuffled from one diocese to the other as accusations grew, they were kind of shuttled out to another place and nothing was ever done for a long time until these people took it to court. Mm-hmm. This is going to really affect the Catholic Church because of the way it's been handled, and that's not to even mention the trauma that the individuals have suffered from the abuse.
That's the other thing that was uncovered in this report, which you're alluding to, is that some of these priests were moved around instead of censured or taken right. or defrocked or whatever, and so there's that to be paid. The Catholic Church, I don't think, has begun to account for this reckoning. Austin Ruse referred to what he called the Lavender Mafia that's as right. high up as the Vatican.
Yes. That's right. And listen, my personal opinion is that if an accusation of a crime has been committed, church leaders need to turn that over to public authorities, law enforcement.
It is the law.
It is the law. And, if you don't want to lose the protections we have for religion in this country, then you can't play these kind of games. If there's an accusation of abuse, that needs to go to law enforcement, and churches should not say, hey, separation of church and state, we'll deal with it.
My dad is a Baptist, or was before he retired, a Baptist pastor who spent a lot of his time counseling. He is a mandatory reporter. If someone comes to him and says, hey, I have to confess that I abused a child,
right.
he has to report that,
right.
or he is legally violating the law.
Right. Right. Yeah, and I'm reading through this report, or this news article about the report, and there were 301, what they call predator priests named in this grand jury report, and the news article says that a lot of this happened before the 1990s, but if that many hundred priests were involved in some way or another in this sexual abuse of children, this cover up, they can't tell me that this stuff's not still going on. I mean, who are we kidding here? 300?
Until you hear someone from the Catholic Church or someone in law enforcement saying what Austin Ruse said, which is there's a problem with homosexuals in the seminary and right. in the Vatican, they're not going to be able to get a handle on this.
Right.
Well, it's very sad, and people should pray for the victims. I know they're unnamed. Pray for the victims.
Yeah.
This is very traumatic for these people.
I'm just stunned at the number.
Yeah.
And this is just a part of Pennsylvania,
just
right?
Just six dioceses in Pennsylvania.
All right, folks, thank you for listening to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Ed Walker.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And thanks to Brent for producing our program. Today's Wednesday, so what's that make tomorrow?
Thursday, sir.
There you go.
I was the first to say.
I was waiting for Ed to answer.
Bum, bum, yeah. bum, bum.
This is today.
See you tomorrow, everybody.